Good morning and welcome to Maximizing Your Live Event. My name is Jordan Collins. I'm the Senior Digital Marketer here at Tucker Financial Group. And today we're going to help you with how to make the most from your live event. Diving in, we want to jump immediately into what to do prior to your event. Today's format will be basically just like a sports game. Basically, what should you do pre-game? What should you do the day of the game to make sure that you get the most from that experience? And then post-game, how can we follow up to make sure that everybody is making an appointment and you're making the most of the contacts that you're having contact with? So let's dive into the pre-seminar and make sure that you're ready for game day. First and foremost, does Google agree that you are who you say you are? What do prospects see when they Google your name? Do they see your name in relation to your business? Do they see your competition? Is it clear that Googling your name, that you're a financial planner, insurance agent, or retirement specialist? And are there any negative stories about you with someone or with the same name? From this point of view, you want to make sure that you know that if you spend all this money on sending out a mailer, that people are aware of the fact that you are who you say you are and you're going to be able to help them solve a problem. Ultimately, you want to be able to look at these things before you're sending out anything to make sure that you already are controlling the narrative. Next, you want to make sure that prospects see when you Google your business. Is your business easily found? Is your competition running ads for your business? Do you have any reviews on Google or Yelp, etc.? Are they good? Are they bad? Do you dominate the first page of search results? Ultimately, what you want to find out is, if people are looking for me for the first time, are they seeing good things? Are they seeing bad things? And if they're seeing things that aren't good things, how can we adjust the Google search engine results page to make sure that you're coming off positively? Next, what are your touch points with people before your seminar starts? Are you sending prospects a thank you for registering email when they sign up for your seminar? That's another place that you can include important information and to increase the probability that they will come to your event. Next, are you sending prospects an email or text reminding them of the seminar? Some of these things are going to be, you know, low-hanging fruit, but ultimately the people who do them are going to be the people who have more people showing up to their live event. Next, are you calling each prospect the night before the seminar to thank them for registering and remind them of the date and time? Some people respond better to email and text rather than phone calls, but a combination of both is what we've seen to be the biggest thing in terms of getting good attendance for your live event. Ultimately, everyone's different, but you want to make sure that you are covering each one of your bases to make sure that you get positive results. Next, some people listen to your seminar coach to make sure, because the suggestions and requests that they make are going to be a complete game changer for how you handle this event. They've been through this countless numbers of times, and they're going to be able to see the scenarios before they happen and help you adjust in real time. Next, our coaches have been to hundreds of events, and they've encountered and handled so many scenarios: underattendance, overattendance, noisy venues, hecklers, equipment issues, bad weather. They've been through all these things, and they can help you with the answers that you need in a moment of crisis. Next, our coaches will mentor you on the best time for you to arrive, how to dress, how to improve prospect interactions, and how you can improve your seminar process. Even if you've done seminars in the past, you haven't had the feedback of someone who does it year round all the time, trying to help as many advisors as possible book as many appointments as they can. There are a lot of pieces to the seminar that are out of your control. So you need to make sure that, number one, you're listening to someone who has the expertise, and number two, you need to have a good online presence, reaching out to your prospects and listening to your coach. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our seminar coach with over 40 years experience. Please welcome Brad Smith.
Thank you, Jordan. Hello, everyone.
Welcome, Brad. I want to remind everyone that in the offers tab, you will have your chance to reserve your spot with Brad. We're starting that offer now. You can either call 720-838-2619 to book Brad, or just hit the button and you can fill out the contact form. But what I really want to talk to Brad about today is I want to talk to Brad about game day. We've already talked about what it takes to pregame and prepare and be, you know, screwed in for the day of, but how can you help people on the game day?
So game day begins with me landing in their fair city, and I will communicate with them once I hit the ground and get into my rental car and start making my way their direction. And just, I want them to know that I'm there, so they can eliminate that concern. And then we'll just begin to really finalize our plans for the game day. Now, prior to that, I'm going to be doing a lot of communicating, especially with a first-time first time using me.
Yeah.
There will be a lot of conversations before game day, but on game day, it starts with the landing and just anything that has changed since the last time we talked, and we'll talk about what time are we going to meet at the venue.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So I usually am there by 5 o'clock. Most of our events start at 6:30 in the evening. I like to get there by 5, have everything set up and running by 5:30. I like to be ready, completely ready to go an hour out.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing.
Yeah. So on those game days, I mean, when you're showing up to a venue that you haven't been to, like, what is your communication like with the wait staff and the people who are there for the night of?
So that is one of the most important conversations I'll have that day. As when they set up the venue, they probably talked about a schedule. Now I want to do the fine tuning because I know where all the hazards are. And so I want to know who my quarterback is in that restaurant. And I want to make very sure that they know when and when not to come into the room. The most critical times of any seminar are at the very beginning and at the very ending. And at the very ending is when they want to bring the food. So that one really has to be well choreographed so that they do not come into the room too early. And, you know, they've got fresh food, so they don't want it running late. That's really the tricky time that we have to navigate.
Yeah, it's very key that these things happen in correct sequence. Otherwise, the experience can be a lot different for attendees.
Exactly. So, you know, we don't want them coming in the room at all during the seminar. So mm-hmm. I just emphatically let them know where the fences are. Don't cross these fences. Once we've collected the information, the responses, then I tell them, look, the room is pretty much yours after that, but don't interfere with what we're doing.
Yeah. So once we've got those preliminary details all taken care of and you, I guess, huddle up with the advisor themselves, what is that communication like? How do you guys work in tandem to make sure that you get the best results possible?
So sometimes I'm meeting any staff members who come right as they come in at 5 or 5:30, whenever they want to be there. And the first thing we do is we review what roles everyone has, who's going to be doing what. I think it's best that the advisor and his team do that initial welcome. There's another first impression. We have several first impressions in this process. One is the mailer, one is the restaurant, and then they come in and meet the advisor. Once they give them their materials, then, you know, at that point, I usually encourage the advisor to walk them to a table. Generally, it's best to let them pick their own seat. Small talk for a moment, but also to keep an eye on the table because I think it's important for the advisor to be the one to be over there and to bring them into the room.
Mm-hmm.
Once they get them seated, a lot of times that's when I'll move in and I'll just do some small talk with them and help to begin to get people interested in listening to what I'm going to have to say.
Yeah. No, that totally makes sense. I mean, upon showing up to places, it's simple that they would be, you know, apprehensive. They don't know what tonight's going to hold. These are people that they've never met before. It's a foreign environment. So, I mean, it sounds like making people feel comfortable is kind of the name of the game.
That's what we're doing right there.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yep.
Right on. So, I mean, from there, I mean, we have our guests here. We're seated. I mean, what's next?
So, once everyone is seated, we'd like to start on time, but I always go to my projector and I begin to, at the very time we're supposed to start, I do something different on the projector so people are aware that I know what time it is. But if I'll coordinate that with the host, with the advisor, if they want to wait for a few people that they've confirmed, they know they're coming, we hear there's traffic, we can delay it by 5 minutes. That's no big deal. But, you know, once that happens, we close the doors and we go.
Mm-hmm.
I have already communicated with the advisor what he wants emphasized, where the stress, you know, what we're going to be stressing in his seminar. So generally, I like to start the seminar. Now, if I have an advisor who really wants to do the opening greeting, that's fine. I prefer for the advisor to make the closing comments at the very end, to mm-hmm. thank people for coming. I think that it helps build curiosity and interest in the advisor. You know, some of these advisors are as good at public speaking as I am, but we don't want to give them any reason at the beginning of the seminar not to like you.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, if I can start the seminar and introduce the advisor, give him a round of applause for providing our free dinner tonight, I can launch this thing probably the most successfully if the advisor is willing to just An advisor doesn't have to say anything. One of our most successful advisors doesn't say a peep during the seminar.
Yeah.
The first time she speaks to people is when she's confirming the appointments at the very end. It works very well. Mm-hmm. But if an advisor wants to be involved, that's the place I'd like for him to be.
Yeah, I mean, I think that creates a lot of like custom options for the different advisors and for you to be able to come out and put your best foot forward as a team. When you do kick off these events, what do you like to cover? What are the things that you'd like to do to kick off the event when it is you?
I usually start with a joke, a dad joke. I just want people to feel comfortable and feel glad that they're there. And honestly, the first thing that I do is after I break the ice with them a little bit, I will ask them to take out their folder. And I want to just set the expectation for the next 30 or 40 minutes as to what's happening. And I want to review why they're here, why I'm here, what this response sheet is about. And I tell them at that point, I'm going to be making an appeal at the end for you to make an appointment, to sit down for an hour at a time convenient for both of you, and just let them get to know the advisor, and for the advisor to get to know them. That's really the purpose of the appointment. I stress that the appointment is not for the advisor to try to change their mind about something, to talk them in or out of something, but basically just to get acquainted. And at the end of that appointment, both sides can agree or disagree to meet again.
Mm-hmm. No, that makes total sense. I mean, ultimately, these people came for a reason, and hopefully between the presentation and the advisor, we can bring them to a point where they go, you know what, I think I do want to set an appointment.
Right.
I mean, yeah. Outside of the beginning of the game where we're trying to put our best foot forward, can you talk a little bit on like the middle of the game, like where the meat of the presentation is?
Yes, that's the message. And this is not going to sound very good, but that's the least important part of the seminar. I feel like that the most important parts are the beginning and the ending. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we win people. Our message is good. We're a safe money presentation. It's popular. It's well received. And that's where I can tweak it. If a person has their Series 65, then we can talk a little bit more about those things as opposed to an insurance only. Then we're probably going to focus more on annuities. But technically, the body of the middle of the game, the message is safety. We might touch on Social Security if the advisor would like that. We're going to talk about things like sequence of returns. We're going to talk about taking unnecessary risks. We're going to be talking about the risks in people's portfolio. I try not to get too heavy into this because I know I have people in my audience that are not financial people. That's why they're there.
Yeah.
That might be one of the reasons why they're there. You know, lots of different motives going on in the room. But I want the message, I want the least informed person to understand most of what I'm saying. I want to try to put it at that level. I want my most informed person there to get enough substance where they'll stay with me. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I'm reading the room. I do this. I know how to read a crowd. I don't look off into outer space when I'm talking. I look into people's eyes and I read them. And I can usually tell as I'm talking who's with me and who I'm losing, maybe for opposite reasons. And I'll work a little harder on that person, more eye contact. I'll look at them until they really look back at me, you know?
Yeah, I think you make a really good point about how different people have varying levels of knowledge, different levels of comfort, different levels of understanding of the material that's being presented. So it's important to be able to give out a message that, you know, different types of people can connect with.
Exactly. It's a mixed crowd every time. So I want them all to be able to go home that evening and say, you know what, that was a great meal. That was a great message. That was a fantastic speaker. And I'm glad we met this advisor. I can't wait to meet with them. I mean, that's what we're trying to do here.
Yeah. So building off the early game and the mid game, now we're getting to, you know, the most important part of the game, the end game. So
right.
With the end of the game, how do we kind of drive these messages home and, you know, call these people to action?
Well, I try to sneak up on them a little bit. In the sense that since I already told them at the beginning, I'm going to be making an appeal at the end, I have sort of a way of just coming into an abrupt ending. I don't close with a sob story or anything like that. You know, I kind of surprise people. I say, now reach for your sheet. Let's set appointments. Okay. And I've already explained what the sheet is. In fact, at the beginning, I asked them to fill out the top part. So they know what to do. And then I just begin, of course, we give people permission not to sign up. This is a free event. There's no obligation for the meal or for an appointment. But hopefully by this time, I have convinced people who weren't sure that this would really be a good thing to do. And I usually close with the second opinion argument, which is so powerful. And most of our advisors who are listening today have heard Carlin do it or have heard that, where what it demonstrates is that there is a reason for everybody in the room, no matter how sophisticated or unsophisticated they or their plans may be. Why not get a second opinion on whatever your plan is? And if the advisor, when they bring in their stuff and looks at it, says, this is the best plan I've ever seen. Man, how many of you'd like to hear that? You know, people say, yeah, that'd be great. You know, that would be wonderful. But what if the advisor who's putting a different set of eyes on it, you know, you can't get a second opinion from the person who gave you the first opinion. You know, that's the famous line. That's the punchline right there. So, you know, it really does. It's very compelling that people should say, yeah, you know what? I think I've spent an hour here listening to this, and I'm going to spend another 30 or 40 minutes here this evening before the meal is over. Why don't I spend an hour with this advisor and just see if he sees something that hasn't been shown to me before? That's the argument I make at the end.
Yeah. And one thing that you said earlier that I would go back to is that you make them comfortable with filling out part of the paper at the very beginning of the presentation and to make them go, oh, you know what? This is not so scary to just pick up the pencil, pick up the pen and be able to say, you know, I think I'm ready to just talk more with this person and, you know, bring them in on what we're doing.
Yeah. I don't like just springing that on them at the end. It's like, oh, this is what I thought it was going to be. You know, we get that over with early.
Yeah.
So we remove that barrier and there's no resistance. People will just open their folders. They'll pull it out and I'll show them how to set a first and a second appointment so that everyone can go home with a confirmed appointment. And that's when I really get out of the way. Now, all during the seminar, I am pumping the advisor. I'm promoting the advisor. It's all about that advisor. It's not about me anymore. I only draw people to me as they're coming in and being seated. Mm-hmm. Because I want them to listen to me. I deliver the message, but now at the end, it's about, you know, it would be to your benefit to meet with this advisor. Mm-hmm. And then the advisor comes in and goes from table to table with those confirmation cards. After we've collected the forms, you know, they go back, they put them on the calendar, the advisor comes back, and that's when the advisor can just really seal the deal with them. It's warm, it's comfortable, there's no confrontation to it. It's beautiful. It works.
Yeah. So, I mean, once we get closer to the end of the dinner, I mean, what are our next steps?
As we get closer to the dinner.
As we get close to the end of the dinner.
Oh, the end of the dinner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So, well, as we get close to the end of the dinner, then you know, a lot of the advisors out there, I'm sure, are concerned. If you're my presenter, then, you know, where do I fit in? Mm. I'm promoting you the whole time. You know, a lot of times it depends on how the dinner is done. A lot of times it's a salad as they come in. And then I tell people I'm the main course at this event. You know, you had your salad, you get me, and then you get your meal. Sometimes there's a dessert. Not all advisors do the dessert. You don't have to do a dessert, but that does give us a little more time to not be quite as pressed at the end to get it done. Invariably, you know, I'll start closing up my equipment. I'll turn off my projector and I'll give people a visual out there that I'm done. And I've passed the baton to the advisor. And from then on, the advisor is the guy. And I try to blend into the wallpaper a little bit. You know, they can see I'm closing up shop. I don't actually leave right away. I do hang around and I've met people coming in that I'd actually like to go have some more conversation with, not about finances. I will not field a financial question at a seminar. If someone asks me about, now you talked about start, stop, and start again, I say, yeah, talk to the advisor about that. I don't want them asking me my opinion. You know, I have background in this area. That's another thing that makes me a pretty good presenter, is that I spent the better part of a decade running appointments. You know, so I understand what is happening after the seminar, and I think it helps me, you know, set them up. But you know, the main thing is that at the end, we just try to send people out feeling good about having come. They made a good decision.
Yeah.
Especially if they set an appointment. Now, there are some advisors that very successfully are handing people a gift. In fact, I'm just going to reach for this. I hadn't planned to do it, but it's right here on my desk.
Go for it.
We are just beginning something, and this will be new to a lot of you, even some of you who've been around for a while. This is a little thank you gift for setting an appointment. Now, we have one of our top advisors, again, on our board, advisory board, actually has, it's a heavy gift. It's substantive, and it has a candle in it, and I forget what else is in here, but there's one other item in here. And when they come and give the confirmation for the appointment, they say, thank you for setting an appointment. We want to give you that gift. Mm-hmm. And if there's somebody at that table who didn't set an appointment, we're still experimenting with this. Yeah. But we've got one advisor out there who thinks it's the key for him running a very high percentage of kept appointments and sales. Because it's a very nice gift. And we're in the process of getting these kinds of gifts available to some of our advisors if they want to do that. And I hope I haven't jumped ahead of the process with, the marketing team.
No, honestly.
I'm just telling you, we experiment around here, and that's yeah. something that we want to try on a larger scale.
Yeah, one thing worth knowing is that we know a lot of things that do work, but we're still open to new feedback about new things that could, push it further and make it better.
Exactly.
We're always trying to make these processes better. And from that point of view, sometimes advisors have Brad out for multiple nights on a specific week for multiple seminars. Do you ever meet with them after, say, the first night and just kind of run through some things that, you could do better or some different things that you could tweak to make that better?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if it's someone doing one for the first time. Those are the hardest ones for everybody, right?
Yeah.
But even for those who, I've been doing them for years, we do often huddle and say, what should we do better tomorrow night? And I would like to say that, if we have some of you out there who maybe you'd like to do your own seminars, but you don't feel like you're quite there, why don't you have me out and let's do two nights. Maybe let me do one night and I'll get you ready the next day for you to do the second night. I mean, I love to coach. I taught freshman speech on a college level for a couple of years. My bachelor's degree is in public speaking. So I understand the speech communication model. I understand the theory, and I've been practicing it my whole life. So, I would love to help some of you become your own presenter because I can argue either side of that. I think I bring great value to the person who doesn't want to present. It works beautifully. But for the advisor who wants to but just isn't sure, maybe you've never done a Tucker seminar. Now, if you're scared spitless about speaking, just have me come out and do them for a while, okay? Because don't make yourself that uncomfortable. I'm here to take the pressure off of you. And probably the greatest benefit I have for the advisor is I can laud your praises a whole lot more than you can do it for yourself. It's not very comely to brag on yourself, but I have no problem bragging on our advisors.
Yeah, and I think one key thing there is that whether you're a seasoned veteran at giving live events, whether you're somebody who's kind of at the middle of the road, or you're somebody who's just starting out, I mean, you have feedback to help all three of those different people.
Absolutely, and I love doing it. It's really where my heart is.
Yeah. All right, well, we've gone through most of what the actual game day will include. Is there anything else that you'd want to tell people about doing a seminar together or doing a live event?
I know it's expensive. I know that it's a big commitment on the part of these advisors to do that, but I think that it works very well. I think it makes the best first impression you can make on the people who come. And I'd like to be able to do a seminar for everybody out there, at least one, and just, maybe I can help you just a little bit to take you over the line. Or maybe you'd say, we're having so much fun. Look, we can talk shop on that middle day. We do an evening seminar. We have a day in between. We have another seminar. If you want to go golfing, that's okay with me. If you want to hit a tennis ball, that's okay. We can also talk shop. Or you can just ignore me. I can go entertain myself and go, like I like to do, visit historical places in your neighborhood. So you don't have to entertain me, but I'm happy to instruct you if that's something you'd be interested in.
For sure. One thing that I wanted to point out here is that the offers tab is still open to book Brad. If you're interested in booking Brad, call 720-838-2619 or just click on the button saying reserve your spot. We're about to dive into the post the post live event slides and see what there should be in there. But I wanted to start a poll right now that says, which statement best describes you? I love meeting one-on-one with clients, but public speaking is not my thing. I have no problem with public speaking, but would rather focus on what I do best, selling. Or I love selling and presenting because I am good at both. I'm going to start that poll right now. If you go to the poll section on the right side of your screen, from here, we're going to jump into post-seminar and see the things that you should be doing after your seminar or live event. So you've invested your time and money into a seminar and have prospect contact information. Some set appointments, some came to see your seminar, and others canceled. Here are some tips on how to make the most out of your investment. First and foremost, appointments. Send a confirmation or a reminder email. People will remember going out to eat. They won't always remember what time they were supposed to show up, who they talked to, any of the other details. Remind them of those. Maybe you send them a confirmation email, you send them a text, or you call the prospect the night before the appointment to remind them. A combination is always better than just one channel. So just be aware that, you know, if somebody prefers via text or somebody prefers a call instead, try to think of those personal things and maybe take a note down. Next, for the people who attended but did not set an appointment, reach out to these prospects to inquire if they've had an opportunity to look at their schedule and like to set an appointment. Keep in front of your prospects through a good email drip platform. One suggestion that we would make is when you reach out to people, if they didn't want to make an appointment, maybe this information is just as important as getting that appointment set. If you figure out what is stopping people from meeting you, that could be just as important as one more appointment. Try to figure out why people aren't setting that appointment because it'll help you in the future. Next, non-attendees. Reach out to these prospects to see if they'd like to attend a different seminar or just jump straight to an appointment. People are different. Different messages are going to apply to them in different ways. Lastly, add prospects to a quality email drip platform or your newsletter platform. Basically, you have these contacts. They've expressed interest in some of your services. Don't lose those contacts. That was part of what this campaign was all about, was getting more contacts to reach out to. Next, post-seminar measuring and managing. Use a CRM system to track your opportunities. How is your closing ratio? What's your average sales size? What's the average number of appointments to close a prospect? And what is that contact status? Are they an active contact? Are they a passive contact? Are they following up on your marketing messages but not on your emails? Get an idea of where these people are at so you can come up with more specialized messaging. Next, your sales pipeline status. First appointment, second appointment. Have they followed through on any of these? Are they in any of these stages? Make sure that you're tracking where all these things are going. If you're going to spend for this live event, for this seminar, you want to make sure that you're making the most of the materials that are coming from it. Next, important dates, RMDs, income rider renewal dates, birthdays, anniversaries. These are all things that are a connection moment that you could potentially have with these prospects. So that is all of the material that we have on the post-seminar. We've gone through the pre-seminar, the post-seminar, and we've talked to Brad Smith about his experience and how he can help you. We've put out the poll. Currently, we have a lower number of votes, but I would encourage everyone to think about which statement describes them best. Do you love meeting on one-on-one with clients, but public speaking isn't for you? Do you have no problem with public speaking, but would rather focus on selling? What are these pieces that you need to work on to make your financial advisory practice better? Lastly, I want to press you one more time to say, call to set an appointment with Brad or to think about having him out to help you with your live event. Call 720-838-2619 or just hit that button on the reserve your spot. Thank you for attending, and we'll catch you guys next time.